praise your name. Praise. We give you thanks and praise. We do exalt you. We speak the name of Jesus over our this church, over our town, over our county, this region. Father, be exalted over all of it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. A couple of prayer requests to bring before you this morning. We were blessed last week to have our brother Jonathan Bowden and his family with us. He was a missionary to Niger for 15 years. He's now the director of global ministries. Is that close enough? At Elam. And I saw a notice this morning. Jonathan's brother Mark began to feel... I am humming. Jonathan's brother Mark began to feel unwell, and they got him into the hospital, and they've discovered a large mass in his brain. So Jonathan has jumped on a flight, and he's headed down there. But I want to lift up his brother Mark and believe God to deliver him from that brain tumor. And we want to remember our sister Kate Rulison. She has a bronchoscopy this week, and we want to believe God that that's going to be free and clear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we lift up the Bowden family to you at this time. And Father, we think of this brother Mark, Lord, and in this season, we pray for your mercy that you would touch him, God, that you would touch that mass in his brain, Father, and we want to speak to it like Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Let it be cursed, Father. We pray it would dry up and pass away from him, that you would deliver him from that, Father, that you would uphold his whole family, his wife, his kids. Lord, that you would minister your grace and go before him and touch and help him, Father, I pray. Oh, Jesus, bring healing. Manifest a miracle, we pray. We pray for our sister Kate that you would bring an end to some of these long-term issues that she's had. God, we pray that this bronchoscopy, Lord, would show things free and clear. Free and clear. Lord, we pray that you would restore free breathing, that you would do it, God, that you would bring grace, and that you would deliver her from all of those symptoms. Father, we believe you can do it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We had quite a weekend last weekend. I don't know if we've ever had three different missionary ministries represented in our church all at one time, but it was pretty exciting. How many of you enjoyed all of the updates and then the fellowship afterward? It was just really, really special. Praising God for that. If you're interested in helping us with our 75th church anniversary, it will not cost you your life savings. It will not cost you all of your time or your firstborn child. I promise it will not be any of those things. But we do need worker bees so that Pastor Dave doesn't have to be the worker bee. I mean, I'll still be the worker bee, but I don't want to be the only one. And it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for our community. We get to put our name out in the community, and we get to say, hey, we've been here for 75 years. If you've never heard of us before, you've been living under a rock. Well, maybe we won't say that, but it's coming up the first weekend in August. And I've lined up our brother Dave Herr has agreed to come. I asked him to pray, and he called me back the next day and said, God spoke to me. He gave me something to share for that service. So, glory to God. Oh, it's going to be good. So, good things ahead. Brother Carl, I have some sheets I would like to pass out. Want to make sure that everybody gets one. If you're a couple, go ahead and take one, each of you. Just everybody ought to get a hold of one of these. I hope I printed off enough. And You can, here it comes. You can start that at any time. I think I opened it there at the bottom. Don't grow weary in doing good. This was a topic that we got into last men's meeting on Monday night. And so if you were there at that meeting, you're going to hear me repeat myself a little bit today. Don't grow weary in doing good. Have any of you ever felt like this dude in the living room there? It's like, you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it, and you're like, enough. You know, there's times to take a break. There's times to take rest. But spiritual weariness is very different. It is a very different thing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Notice those ever-important words, in due time. When is due time? When God decides it's due time. You know, sometimes I wish that due time was right now. And part of that's the problem. Sometimes we get weary because the things we're working for and we want to see now. And God's time is a little bit different. But notice in both of these scriptures that word weariness. And I've had times where I felt like that guy on the floor. There's a lot of things in life that can make us become weary. And notice, this is not, I don't think this is a command. I think it's a warning. It's a warning to the saints. Don't give up. Don't give up. Like Winston Churchill, never, never, never give up. Oh, it's important. That word weary is ekakeo. It means to lose heart, become weary, or to faint. And that verb in the Greek carries the idea of spiritual, emotional, or moral fatigue that tempts a believer to abandon a God-given assignment or a God-given attitude. It just makes you want to give it up. You know, the devil is not likely to come to you and say, just throw away your faith. Jesus is a crock. You know, he's not likely to say that, but he is likely to come and say, you know, that thing you've been believing for is probably never going to happen. You know, this financial problem you're having, it's going to ruin you. You know, what he'll do is he'll come and sow discouragement and weariness. And so we're warned. That word weariness, that ekakeo, only appears in the New Testament 6 times, and every instance of it, the Holy Spirit uses it to urge us to have steadfastness under pressure. God will let, isn't it great to know that God will let you come under pressure? Yay, thank you, Lord. There's pressure. Hallelujah, I have problems. Yay. Because we live in a fallen world, discouraging things happen. Sometimes we have health problems. Oh yeah, we got health problems that can plague us. Financial setbacks that can bring stress. Life circumstances. Expectations and hopes that don't seem to materialize. And then there's always the lovely thing about having other people, maybe in your family or in your circle, that do stupid things and that affects you. Or you could be like me and just do stupid things yourself once in a while. But there's a great temptation to get weary or discouraged or tired and downhearted. And the enemy will use that. And that's not the focus of my message today. But I want to share an experience that I had recently. And as I share this, I want to be very clear. This is not, when I share this, this is not an indictment to anyone in this congregation. I am not pointing or accusing. This is not an indictment of our church. This is my problem. My problem, not your problem. So please understand as I share. A few weeks ago, I began to feel very discouraged. I've been now the pastor of the church. I think this is, I'm so bad at counting years. I think I've just finished 5 years. I think we're coming into year six. And I started to think about it. And you know, when I first began, I thought, well, the church has been through a hard time, but I wasn't here during all of that. And if I come back, I'll meet with people and build bridges, and people will come back and things will be... And I did that. I met with a lot of people, had a lot of good conversations, a lot of good prayer time, a lot of bridges mended, but they were somewhere else and they'd established themselves. And I was like, well, okay. So here we are, and then the next year, and then the next year, and then 5 years, after 5 years, you ever have the experience where in the cartoons they have the little white angel on one shoulder and the little black angel on the other shoulder? Well, maybe not an angel, the little devil. And this one over here is whispering, you know, it's been about 5, 6 years. Shouldn't you have 60, 70, 80 people in the church now? Shouldn't you be seeing this happen? Shouldn't this be happening? Shouldn't that? And as I thought on that, I began to feel like, what am I doing here? You know, it began to wear on me. And it was the trifecta. Lynn was sharing with me, you know, wonderful things come in threes, I think you were telling me. And I had some things. I had a big fire happening in my personal life. I had a big thing happening in my family. And then I had this thing that I was struggling with the church, and all three of them together, I began to become very discouraged. And I'm like, what am I doing? And God, I'm praying, I'm seeking you, I'm doing everything that I know to do. And what's happening? And I got very discouraged, but I didn't get just discouraged. I got into a snit. You know what a snit is? That's where your face looks like. And my face, I'm walking around. You ever try to witness to people like that? Doesn't work. Jesus loves you, you jerk. You know, it doesn't work. That face is not a good thing. So, but there I was. And I knew it was wrong, but this, I had this sense of just hopeless discouragement that it just settled on me. And I'm like, God, I know this is wrong, but I'm not happy. I'm frustrated, but this isn't right. But I don't like it. Yeah, you know, the good angel and the bad angel there. And I was battling it out, and I wasn't doing really well. Wasn't feeling really happy, and it was time for me to go to the annual Elam Fellowship Ministry Conference. And I thought, well, I should go. So I drove up there, and all the way up there, I'm like, complaining to God, and God, why aren't you, what, you know, I want to see signs and wonders and miracles and people get saved and the churches should be growing. And so I'm just having my little fit. Well, I get up there and I park in the parking lot, and then I realize I have to go in. And nobody wants to see that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. And I said, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to walk up to the door. And there's going to be a greeter. I'm going to have to look at this greeter. So I got out of my car, and it's raining, of course. So it's raining on me, and I never bring an umbrella. I'm the dumb guy that just, I'll run through the rain. So I ran through the rain. And I get up to the door, and I'm wet. And the door swings open, and out comes a girl. And she goes, hi, how are you? And I said, fine. And she goes, have you registered yet? And I said, no. Well, I mean, I had, but she noticed I didn't have my little lanyard. And she's, well, you should go over to this building over there. And I had to go down the sidewalk in the rain to another building. I'm like, okay. So I walk down there, and I go in, and there's more greeters. Hey, brother, how you doing? I'm like, fine, I'm fine. Give me my lanyard. So I got my lanyard, and then I went in, and I'm still having my little... and And I thought, oh, how can I get into the sanctuary and just sit down somewhere and not have to see a bunch of people that I know that are going to say, hey, Dave, how are you? How's things at the church? Please just leave me alone. And I walked in and I kind of did this and that. And then Heather and Andy walk up. Hi, Pastor Dave, how are you? And I'm like, and I said, how are you? And we chatted a little. I don't know. Did you notice? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. My fake face. Such a liar. Let me ask you how you are. Oh, I'm fine. Liar. You're a liar. So I got in, and then I went and sat by myself and listened to the first speaker. And the first speaker gets up, and he's got 7 points for you to lead your church. And the first one is like, people need to be getting saved in your church. And I'm sitting there going, okay. And then he goes on to these stories where all these people are like falling at his feet and getting saved. And I'm like, God, I am in the wrong ministry. What is... And he went to this place and all these people get saved, and he does this and they get saved and that, and they, people are always, and he said, oh, it's really a bummer if people aren't getting saved in your church. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So, and then he went down all of these 7 points, and I got to the end and I'm like, God, I am doing all of those things. And he's talking about these wonderful things that are happening. I'm like, and I just wanted to take my paper and throw it, and I kind of stalked off, and I came back in for the next meeting, and then there's Judy Brazell, and I'm sitting over here by myself, and she's like, Pastor, you're up there sitting all by yourself. We're over here. You want to sit with us? And I said, I'm fine. And she went, oh. And she went back. Danny Bowden found me, too, and she's like, hi, Pastor Dave. Hi. Yeah, I just wasn't a happy person, and I spent some, my good friends Dave and Wendy Herr were there, and they got together with me, and we talked for a while, and then Wendy looked at Dave when I wasn't there, and she goes, I think Dave is discouraged, you better go talk to him. So I went out in between sessions and took a long walk, and I look, and here comes Dave walking toward me, and he walks up and he goes, hey, hi, and we talked for a minute, and he goes, so tell me, how are you doing? And I said, you really want to know? So I told, I said, this and that, and I said, I know I shouldn't feel this way, and I know that God doesn't call us to success, he calls us to faithfulness, and I'm plodding on, but I'm, and he listened, and he was very encouraging to me and tried to help me, and then after we talked for quite a while, he just stopped and looked at me, and he got tears in his eyes, and he said something to me that changed everything. He said, you've gotten your eyes off Jesus. And I heard that, and it went right through me. And my first reaction was, wait a minute, I haven't taken my eyes off Jesus. I've been talking to him all day long about this. But then I realized, no, I've been looking at everything down here, everything that's going on, everything here, instead of looking at the God who does the impossible. And it was like a switch flipped in my heart. Right then. It was wham! And I felt that awful, heavy hopelessness lift off of me. And I was like, yes, Jesus. It's him. It's him. And wow. It was a matter of focus. Nothing had changed in my situation except where I was looking, and I was looking down here instead of up there. And you know, it is so easy to get your eyes off Jesus, and it can happen in an instant. It can creep in and you don't even know it's happened. Wow. So your pastor is feeling much better and ready to believe God for the impossible again. But here we have... Oh. What happened? Come back. Oh, all right. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you notice the beginning and the end of that? And there's a lot of content in between that we could spend three more services on, but it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the key in laboring for Jesus and not becoming weary is fixing your eyes on him. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you won't lose heart. So here's the question. How do you fix your eyes on Jesus? What do you do? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. I would like to give you 6 points on how you can maintain your focus on him and not become weary. And I had these all lined up in order, and then when I was preparing this morning, I switched them all around, so I've got to jump around in my notes. Number one, I've got number two. You see number two, my secrets already. Remind yourself of his promises. Did you get a sheet? One thing that I realized was that I had stopped part of my not having my focus and my eyes on Jesus was I had stopped believing him for the things I wanted to see. I stopped believing him. When you look at the situation long enough and your focus becomes that, you stop believing in the God of the impossible. So what will save you from weariness is grab onto the promises that God has said he will do because he is faithful. He always keeps his word. Always. I made up this quick sheet. This is like a tiny drop in the bucket of all the promises there are in the scriptures. I just grabbed a few. You know what's a really fun Bible study? If you ever want a fun Bible study, think of any problem that a person can have and then dig into the scriptures and find God's promise for it. They're all over there. There's promises for everything you can go through in your life. When you're fearful, Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Boy, I heard that during worship today. I kept hearing the Lord say, I walk with you, don't be afraid. I walk with you through the water, through the fire, don't be afraid. If somebody needed to hear that today, don't be afraid. When you need provision, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. When needing strength, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Remind yourself of the promises of God, that he is faithful, that he's going to bring every single word to pass that he says that he will. Remember that when David confronted Goliath, remember we talked about running toward your Goliath? Running at your Goliath? David didn't sneak around behind. He didn't go out trembling and fearful. He ran at Goliath. But what did he run at him with? He ran at him with the promise of God. God's going to give your carcass to me. God's going to defeat your armies. God's going to do this. He just came with the God, the strength of the God of Israel, and he was able to run at the enemy. So find your weariness and run at it with the word of God. Remind that thing that God is mightier. He can deliver. Oh, remind your Goliath that your God is bigger than them. He is. I have a few things right now that I'm working on that look impossible. And the accuser is right there to tell you, you can't do that. You can't. And he's right, except that with God, I can. With God, you can. You can do it. And he'll give you victory against that Goliath that roars in your face. I don't know what your Goliath is. I gave you some of mine. Grab hold of God's promises, take them, and run at your Goliath. And God will give you the grace to lop that thing's head off. He'll give you victory. David ran around for a long time afterward, swinging Goliath's head around. It's gross, but it happened. I think he was quite proud of himself there in that moment, of what God had done. He was proud of God. Hang on to his promises. Number two is already up there. Remember what he has already done. When we get into the battle and things become wearisome, we tend to have a really short memory. What has God already done in your life? He has saved you. He has washed your sins away. He's probably delivered a lot of you from death. I know he did me. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. He's healed my body. He has provided finances when I had nothing. He has answered my prayers. You know, I can get happy just thinking about all the things that God has done. Don't forget the things that God has done. Don't let the devil steal that from you. Oh, I had a scripture. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his kind deeds. The King James says all his benefits, all the things that he's done. Who forgives your iniquities, heals your disease, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving devotion and compassion, and satisfies you with good things. Wow, remember what God has done. Remind yourself of what he has done. Remember that, you know, Israel sinned and they got into trouble because over and over and over in the desert they forgot what God did. They forgot God. They forgot about the plague of the firstborn. They forgot about the darkness and the locusts and the frogs and the river turning to blood and the parting of the Red Sea. They railed against God. Even though he brought water out of a rock, he gave them manna in the wilderness after he provided over and over, but they kept forgetting him. Don't forget what God's done. Glory to his name. Look back and see your altars. You know, they built those altars when they met with God. And there was always a monument in Israel to when God met, when they met God at Bethel, when they met God here, when they met God there. What are your altars? What are your altars? Where has God met you? Where has he spoken to you? Don't forget them. And take time and start thanking God for every one of them. Remind yourself of them. It'll buoy your spirit. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. The places where God has faithfully met you. Number three, be proactive with thankfulness. I want to tell you, thankfulness is not just a good thing that we do with God. Thankfulness is a weapon. Did you know that thankfulness is part of your arsenal? When discouragement and bad things come, when you go through difficult times, do you know what lops the head off of that Goliath right away is when you start thanking God? God, thank you. Find things to thank God for. Be proactive. Oh, thankfulness doesn't come naturally for us. I don't think because of our fallen nature, but we're told, I love this wonderful, if you have trouble with Bible memory, this is a great one. Rejoice always. That's it. Rejoice at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice. Give thanks. Find ways to praise God all the time. Everything. You know, you remember in the book of Acts chapter 5, and the apostles and the people are all together in this place called Solomon's Colonnade. It was a part of the Herod's temple in the outer court on the east side, and that's where they were all getting together, and God was doing amazing miracles, signs and wonders, and people are getting healed all over the place. and the religious leaders get into a snit. They're very filled with jealousy, and they're cranky. And wonderful things are happening, but they're not happening with them. So what do? They come and they grab the disciples, and they drag them off, and they throw them in prison. And then an angel of the Lord comes and opens the door and lets them out. And it says, go back and share the good news. And in the morning, they go to find them, and the soldiers are like, oh, where do they go? And they go, and they find them again. So they haul them back in again, and they say, why are you trying to preach all of this stuff and pin Jesus' death on us? Why? What's wrong with you? And they just said, well, should we obey you or God? And incredible miracles are happening. They said they're bringing the sick out into the streets so that Peter's shadow, Peter walks by and his shadow falls on him, and it says everybody was healed. Oh, I'm like, God, come on, Lord. Bring it in these days. We need those signs and wonders. God, pour it out. And off they walk. And what happens? They get hauled in again, and they command them, you stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And then they have them flogged. They have them beaten. Now, do you know what a Roman flogging is like? That left them raw and bleeding. That was really, really tough. And so then what happened? Acts 5:41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. It's like, they're crazy men. They're like, yeah, we got whipped. Oh, yeah, look at us. Thank you, Jesus. We are rejoicing. They're thankful that they got beaten. But they got beaten for the name. For the name of Jesus. They found, I could have come out and said, you know what? That was completely unfair. That was uncalled for. I'm calling my lawyer. We're going to sue those guys because they violated our rights. And that's not, well, you know, the discussion, how that discussion would go today. You know, they haul you into court or something. No, they rejoiced in their difficulty. They left rejoicing. And it says they just kept on preaching the name of Jesus, and miracles kept happening. God did it. So they found even in the most difficult situation, they were able to give thanks. You want to lift your day? If you feel things are hard, life is difficult, start thanking God. Thank Him for everything. Thank Him that you're alive. Thank God that you've got another day to live for Him. Thank God that you've got a house that you live in. You probably ate something today. You probably drove a car. God has blessed us. Thank Him for His blessings. Don't complain about the stuff that's difficult. Glory to His name. Let's look on. Number four, worship God, not your problems. Oh boy. Do you know that we can be guilty of idolatry? Idolatry. When we devote our attention to things and worry about things other than God. Because what we're saying is, wow, this problem is weighing me down. This problem is bigger than God. That's what we're saying. That's kind of what I was saying a few weeks ago. All this stuff is probably bigger than God. Nothing's happening. It's wrong. It makes your problem bigger than God. Oops, it didn't go. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Worship Him. Worship Him in your home. Sing His praises. Lift up His name. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." That word "magnify" literally means to make bigger. Make God big. I mean, you can't actually make God bigger, but in your own heart, make God the biggest thing. Make him the biggest thing. Make God really big until God, and tell God that he is bigger than your problems. God, you are bigger than this financial difficulty that I have today. God, you're bigger even though my transmission blew up in my car. God, you're bigger even though my coworker got credit for the project that I did, but you're bigger. You know, whatever it is that can come and try to bring difficulty and setbacks. Worship him. Make him bigger. Magnify the Lord with me. Number 5, don't be surprised by setbacks. You know, when I first got saved and some really hard things happened, I remember thinking, God, where are you? What's wrong? Guess what, folks? We live in a fallen world and things are going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that we are destined for them. I don't like that verse very well, but Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Does that mean that our troubles are going to go away? No, it means that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Don't be surprised. You know, I confess that I'm sometimes still surprised when difficult things happen. I had a house project I was doing, gutted the my dining room. The plaster and lath walls, they're all cracked and stuff needed to be fixed. And I thought, oh, this, I love a good project. I was ready to tear into it, and I'm ripping everything down, and I'm tearing out plaster and lath, and I ripped out it. I had to rip out this whole chimney a brick at a time. That took some time. And then I look up at the wiring. What I wanted to do was rip everything out, insulate, drywall, done. Nice room. I looked up at the wiring. Old knob and tube wiring. And in the wiring, they had stuffed, maybe for insulation, I don't know, they had stuffed newspapers. And the newspapers were all charred and black. And for years in our house, we kept smelling something, like something was burning. I'm like, where is that? And we could never figure it out. It was the newspapers in the knob and this awful knob and tube. And so I looked up and I'm like, oh no. And I thought, how much of this knob and tube? Because there was a lot of new wiring in the house, but then we found out there was a lot of old wiring in the house too. And I'm like, oh no. I don't mind tearing out walls, and I love doing drywall. Electricity, not my thing. So I knew I was going to have to call an electrician. Set us back, you know, a whole bunch of weeks. And, you know, that having our dining room torn apart means all the dining room stuff was in other places. So every room was a mess and there was still dust in my wife. I was like, when is this going to get done? Difficulties. Stuff happens. It just happens. Don't be surprised. Walk through it. And now it got done. I have nice wiring and my house is not going to burn down. But sometimes you're going to face difficulties. Don't be surprised. Don't let it steal your joy when you run into tough times. Don't let it happen. Oh, and some of it God allows in your life to build your faith. To build your faith so that you believe Him for more. Oh. Sometimes I'm like, God, can we just skip this step? God's just like, nope. You're going through. Notice when He says, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. He doesn't say, I will be with you and you won't have to pass through the fire. He says, I'll go through the fire with you. But notice, you're still going through the fire, through the waters, but they won't kill you. You won't drown. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, He's there. Glory to His name. And the last one, if you pray, you won't faint. You know, there's a saying, a sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. That's not a scripture, but I kind of like the idea behind it. Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he goes on to tell them the prayer, the parable of the persistent widow who bangs on the judge's door to get justice. But notice, it says, he told his disciples they should always pray and not faint. So it leaves me to believe, if I pray, I'm not going to faint. I can stand firm. I can stand strong. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Honestly, I'll tell you the truth. I grew up in a family that said you can't. I grew up in a can't family. You can't. And I grew up expecting failure. From a young child, I tried to do stuff, but I just expected it wasn't going to happen. I have had to really fight that battle in my life. You know, you get things ingrained in you as a kid, and they try to follow you. And I have had to make one of my constant reminders, I can, I can, I can, I can. Now, I can't, but he can. And I know he's going to help me to do it. Oh, God has helped me to do stuff that I never thought I could do. Faithful, faithful God. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. There's one of those promises again. Wait on the Lord. You seek his face, you pray, he will be faithful to strengthen you. Remember Jesus in his greatest trial before he faced the cross. What did he do? He prayed three times in the garden. Wow, sometimes we pray once and we think we're done. Do you know Jesus had to pray three times? And an angel of the Lord appeared and strengthened him. There it was. If you pray, you won't faint. Jesus left us that example. Oh, glory to his name. Who knows how many times we've prayed and an angel has come that we haven't seen and given us the strength we've needed to walk through who knows what. Ooh, glory to his name. God can do it. He is able. Remind yourself of his promises. Remember what he's already done. Be proactive with thanksgiving. Worship God, not your problems. Don't be surprised by setbacks and wait on God. He will be faithful. Father, we thank you that you are the God who is yea and amen. All of the promises of God are yea, yes, and amen. And Father, today we thank you that you are faithful and we can count on you. Father, I pray that you would teach us every day to walk with our eyes fixed on Jesus, that you would help us to believe you, that we would worship you, that we would set our eyes on the God who is, that you would cause us to remember your promises, that you would cause us to remember what you've done. God, that you would help us to continue to pray and not to give up. Give us grace to walk and to believe you and to be encouraged in our hearts and spirits, knowing that you're faithful in the good times, in the bad times. You walk with us everywhere, and you are a faithful God. And Father, because of that, we can. We can. Give us grace, Father, to run at our Goliaths. Give us grace to run at the things that are hard and to speak the word to them and watch the mountain move. Watch the giant fall. God, you're able to do it. Give us grace to run at those things today with your promises and your word. And Father, we thank you for it. We know that you're able. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, be encouraged. God is able. He is able. If you're here today and you need somebody to stand with you in prayer, someone will be here to pray with you today. We are believing God for miracle working power. I just had another testimony today of how God touched somebody when they came up and did a miracle in them. You can be the next one. God can do it. God bless you. Have a great week. And if you need prayer, someone will be here to pray. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you. Thank you.